Yeah, yeet.
Wait, what was that?
Yeah, yeet.
Yeet. Yeet.
Can I get a
podcast? Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Can I Get a Podcast? My name is Chris Gross. Sitting across the table from me is Jeffrey Cooperstein. What's up, Jeffrey?
What's up, Chris?
What's up?
I have a little cough here, a little allergies bothering me.
Yeah,
but we're going to power through this.
I was wondering what just happened,
yeah.
but it's good to know. We will power through. There is an off button to your mic over there.
We can restart this.
We're just going to leave it like it is.
Okay.
I think this is entertaining for the listeners.
Okay.
We've got a lot to talk about today. Coming up in the second part of the podcast, we're going to talk about the surprising start for the Texas Rangers. Big series wins over playoff teams.
4-2, baby.
I'm
World
shocked.
Series.
I'm shocked. We'll talk about that, but right now we'll get right into it. We're 2 days away from the Final Four.
Yes.
And
we are.
The one of the big stories, maybe if not the biggest story, is Texas Tech. Texas Tech makes their first appearance in the Final Four in program history, which is impressive. Chris Beard's done a great job getting them there. They will play Michigan State in the night game coming up on Saturday.
No, you're a big Michigan State guy. How does that make
yes.
you feel?
Now, let's just go to it because I wanted to talk about this. Us both being Big 12 guys, you a Texas fan, me a TCU fan. Once you get to this point of the tournament or even the tournament in general.
The answer is no to what you're about to bring up.
See, I know what you're going to, you know what I'm going to ask. For me, I root for other conference teams. And normally I would be rooting for Texas Tech, but obviously not in this case because of where my dad went to school. But you don't think it's good for the conference for Texas Tech?
We've had a whole podcast discussion about this before. Why would I root for my rivals to succeed?
But here's the thing about Tech. I feel like Tech is different because it's a school that, especially in basketball, has done nothing in recent memory.
That's fair.
Like,
yes.
Outside of Michael Crabtree one season, I mean, what have they done in football
Sorry,
either?
I don't recall.
Yeah, that's bad memories for you. I think it's different when it's a team that's not really like a rival.
That's fair. I mean, they're not like a huge rival because, like you said, they haven't done much, but still, it's like, I don't like Tech very much, so I'm like not going to go out there and root for him. And I do like Tom Izzo and Michigan State, and I love Cassius Winston.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be rooting for Michigan State to get to that championship game.
The one thing I will say is why this is intriguing and why it should be of interest for fans of people who either went to school or fans of schools that are in Texas. If Texas Tech were to win it all, this would be the first time a school from Texas won it since Texas Western won it back however long ago.
The famed movie Glory Road.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have seen the movie.
Solid movie.
That's how bad. And I guess once you think about it, you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. But you never think about, man, it's been forever since a Texas school has won the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's been a really long time. And especially, I mean, they had those Houston teams with Hakeem and Clyde Drexler. Those guys didn't win a championship. And I think after that, Texas made the Final Four in 03. And I think that's the closest someone's been since then.
Even having like some of the guys you've had at Texas, especially like a Kevin Durant, and not being able to win a championship. And here's Texas Tech. The other thing I want to talk about with Texas Tech is the way that they win games, and a lot of it is based on their defense.
Their defense is crazy. Just watching them, it's a completely different style than anybody else plays, and it works so well. I can't believe that coaches will look into the future and be like, maybe we should run this.
Yeah, and it's interesting the way what you brought up is the way they play defense, where it's not even like focusing on the paint or 3-point shooting. It's the way they defend the middle of the floor.
Right.
And you don't think that would succeed, that it would work in today's basketball, especially the way the three-point shot has evolved.
But I think it works in college because college teams can't shoot. College teams have a real big problem making three-pointers at an efficient clip, and I think Tech has realized that, and they're capitalizing on that. So they're making teams shoot outside shots.
And that's why coming into the tournament, now my bracket is completely busted.
Me too. I have no teams
totally
in the Final Four.
Totally shot, but I did have Tech in the Final Four.
You did. Good for you.
And part of the reason I had more faith in Tech than I did in a team like like Duke is exactly what you brought up, where Duke's, now, like you said, three-point shooting is not going to be, there's no team that is as efficient as it, like, say, the Warriors right. are in the NBA. But for a team like Duke who cannot shoot them at all,
yeah,
who's terrible.
I think going into the tournament, they were in, like, the bottom 30 in Division One. Like, they were in the 300s.
Heading into the ACC tournament, I can't remember what they were shooting exactly. It was, like, 32%, yeah. I believe. There had been no team who had ever won the tournament shooting three-pointers that poorly. And so from that point, you knew, okay, well, here's why Duke isn't going to win. But the thing about Tech that's interesting is you get in there, and if you can be a team that takes advantage of the opponent's inability to shoot and you can make it so much worse,
yeah.
I knew that Tech was going to have a shot in this thing. And the other thing that's interesting is, you know, Ken Pomeroy and his Ken Pom rankings that he's been doing it for 18 seasons. There's never been a team that's held a... There's never been a team that's played defense as well. It's one of Ken Pom's defense efficiency metrics ratings. Yeah. There's never been a team that's been as efficient on defense as this Texas Tech team has been.
I didn't know that.
It's crazy to think of how... Now, the reason I think Michigan State is here, one of the big tropes you hear when you go into the tournament is, how well can your point guard play? And we've seen it with Cassius Winston, yes. and we've seen the way that he's been able to... you know, elevate the play of Michigan State, but it's just weird to see a team get in and use defense to get where they need to go.
They are a crazy good defensive team. I know, especially against Texas, because God knows what Texas does on offense on any given night, but it seems like they just fly around to the ball, like, better than everyone else. And this is, and like, they are a good defensive team, but they're no schlubs on offense either. Jarrett Culver is a dude that if you need a bucket, you can go ask Jarrett Culver to go get you a bucket. And I think every team that is going to make a deep run in the tournament needs that kind of guy. So, yes, definitely congratulations to Tech. Congratulations to future Texas head coach Chris Beard. And, yeah, it's cool to see a Texas team in the Final Four. Do I want them to win? Not really, but that's all right.
Who do you have in that game, in Tech Michigan State?
I think I have Michigan State simply because Michigan State has the better point guard and the more experienced coach. And that's not to say Texas Tech doesn't have a chance, because I think they do, but I like Michigan State.
I like Michigan State, too, and to me, it goes to a lot of it is coaching, and
yeah.
It's going to be fun in this game where you have Chris Beard against Tom Izzo, but the thing we saw what helped Michigan State move past Duke was the way that Michigan State was able to, I'm not going to say stop Zion, but the way they were able to contain Zion, where you were able to find a way to limit him from doing what Zion did all season and pretty much take over and will his team to a win. And I put a lot of that on Tom Izzo. It'll be interesting going into a game where now you're not worried about a superstar player. How am I going to go against this defense that we saw against another Big Ten school where Tech held Michigan to 16 points in the first half? 16 points!
Dude, that's a Texas-like score, 16 points in the first half. But going back to your point about them beating Duke, Duke should have lost, like, in the second round of the tournament.
They should have lost, like, their previous three games.
Yes. So it's not like Duke was, like, some unstoppable juggernaut. I may or may not have had them winning the national championship. It may or may not have busted my bracket.
I think a lot of people probably did.
But I think Michigan State, dude, whenever Michigan State gets in March, they always seem to be in that Elite Eight, Final Four range. And it's when you don't expect it. I mean, this year, they were a 2 seed this year, right?
Yeah.
But there are some years Michigan State will end up being a 7 seed. They'll get into the Final Four. It's just what they do.
The thing you've got to worry about with Michigan State is they're either like a Final Four team or they are
an NIT team.
They're an out in the first weekend team where we saw 3-4 years ago where they come in as a 2 and they lose to Middle Tennessee as a 15.
Right.
You get games like that and then you go, okay, well, you know, Tom Izzo has his national championship, but what has he done lately? And then you have years like this where it's they were put into, I would say, one of the harder brackets, especially going up against Duke.
That Selection Sunday was so bad. Michigan State won the Big Ten, and they got rewarded by being in the hardest bracket. If they would have lost that game, they might have had an easier road to the Final Four.
He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. We are talking about the Final Four, which is coming up on Saturday. By the way, you can hear all those games on 103.3 FM ESPN. coverage beginning at 2:30. That's your, you've got like a tournament special that comes on before the official pregame coverage. Yeah. It's going to be really cool.
Nice plug.
The other game, the first game that's coming up, we've got the one seed Virginia taking on the surprising, the five seed Auburn. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this one?
It's about time Virginia got to the Final Four after losing as the overall number one to UMBC last year. They've been there. They've been a three. Or it seems like they've been a top seed the last like 4 or 5 years. They've been there each year. So congrats to Tony Bennett getting his squad there. Virginia is, this is the best Virginia team that they've had because they actually can score the ball this year. Unlike previous years, they would just sit back on defense. They'd try to grind the game to 60 and hope the other team is just worn down. But I like Virginia. Virginia's a really scary team this year, and I don't think anyone saw Auburn making this run. They had a really good season. I think they made it pretty deep in the SEC tournament, did they not?
I would have to look. I'll check on that.
Okay. But anyways, Bruce Pearl's a really good coach, and Auburn plays a really fun style of basketball. They play a pretty fast-paced, run-and-gun kind of game, and that is the contrary to Virginia. So I think it'll be a pretty good matchup. I want to go with Virginia, but I mean, it's hard to pick against Auburn right now.
Yeah, no, it is. And that's the team that's, you could say they're hot, a team who has really picked up steam and is running. The whole, and I just want to say about Virginia real quick, I'm with you in the sense that seeing Tony Bennett finally make a Final Four, his first one of his career, was really cool to see. And I think a guy like that who deserves that kind of accolade, I was happy to see him advance and make it to this weekend.
No doubt.
Auburn won the SEC championship.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. So
I knew I wasn't crazy.
It's that whole thing about getting hot and heading into the tournament.
Just gotta get hot at the right time, man.
Auburn, a five seed in this tournament, they were the five seed in the SEC tournament as well. It's interesting about Auburn. You would have, if I told you there was going to be an SEC team that was making the Final Four, Auburn is not a top four, or definitely not a top three team that you pick.
This year, I mean, you're picking Kentucky or LSU.
Yes.
Tennessee.
I definitely Kentucky or LSU. I would have probably picked Tennessee ahead of Auburn as well.
I couldn't pick Tennessee because of the obvious, their coaching flaws.
You don't like their coach?
Not a huge fan, no.
I
like him as a person, let's put it that way.
So is there like anyone who's like connected to Texas in their previous like head coaching stints, and you just have a negative feeling about all of them?
No, I like Mac Brown a lot.
If they win you a national championship, it's okay.
North Carolina is my number four team this year in college football. So
behind Texas, UNT, and Florida.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. North Carolina.
Where does like South Carolina fit in? Would they be five?
South Carolina?
Yeah.
No, I don't care.
I thought you cared about them in basketball.
No.
Oh.
Why would I care about them in basketball?
I thought like a year or two ago, was it last year when they made that Final Four run and you were big on the Gamecock train?
No, I was never big on the Gamecock train. I don't know. I don't know where this slander is coming from.
I'll have to dig up some old tweets.
Yeah, go for it.
I think we have something on this. The Bruce Pearl thing kind of makes this all kind of icky for me.
I mean, Bruce Pearl's no shadier than John Calipari, no shadier than Coach K.
But,
they're all shady.
Yeah,
got caught doing it.
Yeah, but to me, it's like, I don't know. To me, it puts a whole damper on the whole thing. Where it's not as bad as the LSU thing this year, where it was like,
that guy's in trouble.
Will Wade, and whatever happens this year, it's probably going to all be vacated.
I think it's absolutely unfreaking believable that Tony Benford, former UNT coach, was literally was. Not good, and he won two tournament games, and he never won more than I think 12 games at UNT in a season.
Talent
must
you,
be
you think it's
must
that
be.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Virginia in this game.
Yeah, I think so too.
So I've got Virginia Michigan State, which will be a fun game coming up on Monday night. Also a game you can hear on 103.3 FM ESPN. The Mavs did us a solid and did not schedule their games that conflicted with either the Final Four or the national championship game this year. So
does the NBA play on the national championship night?
I know that they, maybe not on college basketball, but I know in the past we have had Mavs games that have overridden the college football national.
Oh, sure. This year we did.
Maybe they don't play.
I don't think the NBA plays on NCAA Championship Monday. Let me take a look.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. But I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take Sparty.
I think so too.
I think this is the year for Tom Izzo and Cassius Winston, the Big Ten Player of the Year.
The ghost of Drew Neitzel is going to come out.
Yeah.
The NBA does not play on that Monday.
Okay. I never knew that, honestly. I never knew that. So which team, just real quickly as we wrap up here, which team would be the most fun to watch win it all?
The most fun? I think Auburn, just because...
That's what I was thinking.
I think the way they got hot, and I know everyone saw this on the internet, but Bruce Pearl's like facial expressions and his meme ability is pretty awesome. So I think Auburn winning it would be pretty cool.
For you, which team do you want to win at least? Tech?
Yes.
God, you're just a terrible like conference.
Why
fan.
Should I root for them?
It help it builds up the brand of your conference.
I literally don't care about the Big 12. If the Big 12 ceased to exist 1 minute from now, I would celebrate.
Wait. Why?
What has the Big 12 done for me?
Well, they give you games that help you get to certain places. I mean, now it's different for Texas this year.
They should have left for the Pac-12 when they had the chance.
In the Pac-12? The Pac-12 is worse.
It wouldn't have been under the Pac-16 when they had that initial offer. That's all I'm saying.
Texas just needs to go independent, I feel like.
That would be fantastic, but it would never happen.
And you know how I feel about independent schools.
Yes, I know. Yes, we've gone down a lot of rabbit holes here in this first segment.
We have, but it's going to be a fun Saturday.
Absolutely.
The tournament didn't start out really great. Like, we didn't have a lot of fun.
It's picked up. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of drama.
And especially recently, it's a very weird Final Four that we have. I'll just say it that way. It's weird. It's not we get to this point. Usually you've got quite a bit of chalk getting to this point. It's a little different to where we've gotten to this upcoming weekend. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. That's our talk on Texas Tech and the Final Four. Another surprising team, the Texas Rangers.
Together we.
Let's talk about them on the other side of the break here on Can I Get a Podcast?
Welcome back, everybody. Can I Get a Podcast? I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside Chris Gross. We were talking about some surprises that shocked college basketball in the tournament this last weekend. But now let's move to baseball, where some surprises have been happening in DFW, Chris. The Texas Rangers have a winning record and are 4-2 and are going to have a winning record after the first week of baseball.
I'm shocked. Like,
I think we all are. I think we all are.
Like, you know the cartoon where it's like your jaw drops and it hits the floor? Like, I'm not exaggerating when I say that's how I feel.
They're one time through the rotation, in which, for all intents and purposes, I thought was going to be the worst rotation in baseball, and they somehow won series against the Cubs and the Astros. I mean, go figure.
It is. I don't even know how to describe it, because I remember going into the first series and honestly thinking it would be a win.
If they got one
yes, win.
Absolutely.
And you take two from the Cubs, and then you go into it, okay, what may be the best team in baseball in the Astros, and you think, okay, we're going to start 0-3 into our division play this year, and you lose the first one, but then you come back against Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole. It's pretty amazing.
I mean, their offense has been really fun this year. It's really cool to see Chris Woodward's philosophy play out on the field, because the way he talks about his offensive approach, he wants the guys to be relentless. He wants them to have pitchers know it's going to be a grind. And so far, I mean, that's been the case through six games. Their offense has not made it easy on opposing pitchers.
I will say, I don't know in terms of win-losses what Chris Woodward's impact has been, but how it's worked out through players, the way he's talked about Joey Gallo's approach.
Yeah.
And we've seen so far, you know, small sample size, but we've seen a tremendous upswing from Joey Gallo this year. The way he's been able to handle those high-speed pitches, which is what used to kill him in the past, he's worked it for some serious walks.
Yep.
And we saw it last night. That's what he did. Chris Woodward has been so complimentary of Joey Gallo's plate approach, and he says, you know, what he says about Joey Gallo is right. When he says, whenever he's able to, you know, be more selective about the pitches he takes, when he's able to take walks, the pitchers will have to start throwing him pitches that he wants.
No doubt.
And is there anybody better in baseball who can capitalize on their pitch than Joey Gallo?
Not many, man.
There's not for the Rangers.
No, certainly not. And I think in 3 of the 4 wins the Rangers have, beside the one last night, Joey Gallo has had the winning RBI in each of those first three wins.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
Yes.
Good for Gallo.
The winning run, excuse me, okay. Not the RBI.
Which means he's there on base.
Right.
And that's what we wanted to see more from him, which is, you know, the power's great, but it's, hey, if you're going to get pitches outside, pitches that you can swing at and you're not going to be able to make good contact.
Let's do something with them.
Yes. And it's good to see. The other thing that's kind of caught my eye is just, you know, I'm much more still into the tournament and into the Mavs. Have not locked down for every Rangers game. But from what I've followed... I'm not going to tell Mike Beasley.
Okay, good.
And from the games I've watched, is the contributions you're getting from some of the new guys on offense that you've brought in.
Yeah, Struble Cabrera's looked really good so far.
He's got at least a couple home runs. I don't know how many. A big night from Hunter Pence 2 nights ago,
yep.
I believe.
Had a solid night last night, too.
Yeah, it's just, like you said, the offense has been fun. You're getting, heck, I mean, last night, Mike Minor is...
7 scoreless?
Yeah.
I mean, look, their pitching is not going to be able to sustain this kind of success. But I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts because fun baseball is really fun.
I will say this, that if your opening series was like against the Tigers and like the Orioles, I would be like, okay, we really have to hold our breath.
Right.
But to me, I'm with you that it's small sample size and most guys have only pitched once. We only got Mike Minor, your quote unquote ace, who's gone around 2 times. They've gone against good teams.
It's okay to be excited. And it is. There are 156 games left going into tonight, but it's okay to be excited. They did. They beat 2 really good teams. The Angels aren't very good, but they do have the best player on earth in Mike Trout, and they're a fun team to watch. So it'll be a challenging 4-game series. But it's like I said, it's fun while it lasts. I really enjoy baseball when the team is good.
And you've got Shohei Ohtani, who's full-time hitter.
He's a hitter this year. That's
yes,
right.
Because he had the elbow surgery.
That's right.
Can't pitch. I don't really know how that works to where your arm works.
Because it's
swinging,
a different motion.
Which to me is like not a science guy is a little confusing, but okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to go with.
I'll just take it for what it's worth. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross talking about this surprising start for the Rangers, which is really cool to see. It makes the season a lot more fun. The part I probably like best is you've seen something good from every aspect of the team so far.
No doubt.
You had a really good start from Mike Minor last night. You've had good things from the offense. You've had a lot of guys who have contributed. Like I said, some new guys, some of the returning guys, some of the faces you know. From the relievers.
How about Jose Leclerc? Good morning, good afternoon, good night. That is what he is.
He's good. And I want to bring this up from the loss 3 nights ago.
Yeah.
Adrian Sampson.
Yep.
In relief, a heck of an outing.
6 scoreless, saved the bullpen a lot of game. Had he gone like 3, maybe 4 innings and had to tax the bullpen a little bit, Adrian Sampson might have been optioned back to AAA the next day. But since the bullpen was healthy, the bullpen was rested, it allowed him to stay on the major league roster. And kudos to him, because he did. He threw 6 scoreless and looked way better than, I forget which starter was in that game, but looked way better than him.
Yeah, I was reading the tweets where it said, it's going to be a great game for him, and he's probably going to get sent down tomorrow.
Yeah, and so I'm glad he didn't. And unfortunately, that is the nature of Major League Baseball, where roster manipulation is a huge factor. So yeah, absolutely. The bullpen's been surprisingly solid so far. They found guys like Sean Kelly and Chris Martin was here last year, but they found guys like them who can fill gaps in, you know, the middle innings. And when you get to Leclerc, I mean, the game's over. Dude's automatic.
Real quick before we get out, the other thing that's been good was you went the longest into a season in club history before you had an error. So Asdrubal Cabrera's error in the fifth inning last night snapped the Rangers' season-opening errorless streak at 49 innings, the longest to open a year in club history.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's, hey, all things pointing up. Now,
we'll see.
What could be bad here is you had a great first two opening series, and can you only go down from here? Is that a possibility?
Yes, this is probably the peak of the Rangers season. I don't think the starting pitching is going to be able to last, and I think the bullpen will fall apart at some point. But, you know, we're going to just, we'll take it as it is right now. It's fun.
Rangers fans, enjoy this.
Enjoy it.
Because you thought you were coming into a season where everything was going to be bad. And when you get, especially over the Astros, doesn't feel sweeter?
Dude, absolutely. My favorite part of the season so far is last night and the absolute horrible ump show that was put on against the Astros last night. I thought it was so funny. That dude looked like he was out to get the Astros, and I'll be the first to admit that. And I hate the Astros.
Yeah. Apparently, he told Hinch,
I can do what I want.
Yeah, I can do whatever I want.
It was really funny.
It's greatness. Now, I do think that probably affected the Astros a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It was in their head. I mean, did you see when Gerrit Cole walked off the mound? He went over to the umpire, put his glove over his mouth, and basically started cussing at him, telling him what he thought of him, walked away, and then he's pacing in the dugout 5 minutes later, just cursing at him. I thought it was really funny.
I never thought we would be doing a podcast at any point in this season and having as much fun about a week of Rangers baseball as we did.
Absolutely not. And I don't think we will have one the rest of the year.
Do you think this is making Taylor Phillips think about bringing his podcast back to weekly?
Good question. We'll ask Taylor Phillips, who I have a suspicion is also Timothy Zane.
Ooh, we've got a station mystery. Maybe that's a discussion.
We do have a station mystery. We might bring that to you guys next podcast to just do an investigation here.
That may be the next podcast. But there's our discussion on the Rangers.
Love it.
Really, really fun time, especially right now. Now we'll see if that keeps up for Rangers fans. We'll close things out on the podcast like we always do. It's a 24-second shot clock. You get 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want, but when the 24 seconds are up, you got to stop talking. So, Jeffrey, why don't you hit us with your 24 seconds first? It begins now.
Chris, I think you know where I'm going here. The Dallas Stars are playoff bound, baby. Clinched the playoff spot Monday night against the Flyers. Two games left, not a big deal. Probably going to play the Winnipeg. Do you know who Winnipeg is?
Jets.
Going to play the Winnipeg Jets in the first round. Nothing like playoff hockey at the American Airlines Center. It is the best playoffs in sports. Get ready. It's coming. Go Stars.
That's great. Now, I do have to, I remember when we talked about this a couple months ago, I said if the Stars make the Western Conference Finals, I will watch.
Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Okay, you won't watch the first two rounds?
No. I won't.
Dude, there's a good chance. I think they could beat anybody in the West, so.
Yeah, all those great Western Conference teams like the Sharks and the Coyotes.
Coyotes aren't in the playoffs.
Well, I'm just trying to think of Western Conference teams that I know. So see, I know a little bit about hockey.
No.
I do. But let's move to my 24 seconds. I want to talk about Jamie Dixon and his apparent exit to UCLA. I think this might be the dumbest thing of all time. Now, to me, coaching at your alma mater is not always the greatest thing, but when you're coaching at your alma mater and you're doing good things, I don't think you can really beat that. And that's where Jamie Dixon was. Now, they're trying to lower his $8 million buyout. Why in the world would you lower a coach's buyout? Why in the world would you do that?
Dude, yeah, that's a really weird situation. And I remember, like, back in January, I mean, that's how far this has gone back. He was asked about it, and he was like, no, why would I rather go anywhere else? And here he is, you know, one foot out the door on his way to UCLA.
I will say, Jamie Dixon did a lot of good things for TCU, really brought up the basketball program.
No doubt.
But I feel a little betrayed, and I will say it is a failure of a head coaching job if you bounce and you can't even take the school to a tournament win, which is what he would have done.
Excuse me, sir. I believe they won 4 tournament games in the NIT.
The NIT does not count. The NIT, I'm talking about the big boy tournament.
Big NIT game tonight, by the way. Texas Lipscomb in the final.
I wonder if they
deal.
Beat Texas and then they beat the rematch game against Lipscomb tonight. You think he would have stayed around if he said, you know, 2 NIT titles in 3 years?
No.
Jeffrey, we got to move on before my, I'm like on the verge of crying.
I'm sorry.
Right now. So let's, as a reminder, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, search Can I Get a Podcast? Head on over to KESN1033.com/podcast. You can find our podcast there. You can find the other podcasts, like Taylor Phillips joined us last week. You can find the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast.
You can find Kevin Correa's yes. Free to Play.
Yes. His most recent interview with one of the players from the Dallas Fuel.
How about that?
Which is really cool. And I'm guessing at some point Harrison Graham has to bring back the Four
I'm
Verticals
thinking
podcast.
Around, I'm thinking around Media Day.
We'll see. It's been a while. That one's in the closet, starting to get spider webs on it, but that'll be dusted off
yep.
before too long. And then one thing I want to talk about, too, you won't hear it this week, but we're going to start doing a pod hour
yes.
on Saturdays, and you will hear a segment from our podcast live on 103.3 FM ESPN. So I really recommend tuning in and checking that out. And it's another great way to find about other podcasts from the website that you may not know about but may be interested in.
No doubt.
So check out the pod hour 2 to 3. Again, not this weekend because we've got tournament games, but 2 to 3 on Saturdays. Jeffrey, the best way to spread the podcast, though, is by word of mouth.
Yep, that's
right. Who should listeners tell?
I think you need to tell Alan Fall, who's right there down the hallway.
Yes, yeah.
And Alan Fall will tell his newly wedded wife, Amanda.
Yeah.
And then Amanda will tell her friends. And by now, we're at about 100 people or so.
Yep.
But, Chris, if all those friends tell their family, we expand that even more, and then their family tells the most important person, which is?
Your ex-wife.
If they tell their ex-wives, Chris, we're at like 100,000 listens.
The multiplication that you get on the word of mouth just by adding in that one person.
Unbelievable.
Because then your ex-wife, you go, oh, the gall of my ex-husband to talk to me about this podcast. And she tells all her friends.
And then they're like, ew, but they're like, wait. We're gonna go listen. That's how it works.
It's foolproof. It's a foolproof strategy. We'll be back next week. We're going to talk about the station mystery. The mystery of Timothy Zane. If you have any info,
please Twitter us.
On the Timothy Zane Twitter account, at TimothyZane96. If you have any info on it, if you have any questions, you can tweet me and I will open my DM so that we can have a private conversation.
My DMs are already open.
You can DM Jeffrey. That way the Timothy Zane Twitter account will not see our inside conversations on Twitter. We will talk about this next week. The biggest mystery in this station's history.
Absolutely.
The Timothy Zane Twitter account. That's next week, but follow Jeffrey on Twitter at jcoopjr27. I'm at Chris's Gross, KRISISGROSS, and we'll be back with another episode next week.
Cool. Thanks. Okay.